Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
So here, chapter 7, verse number 1, it says, "After these sayings, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, and holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind shall not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree." God's going to say, whoop, stop with the wind. And so instead of having a three-day forecast, what you have outside is the forecast. "And when I saw another angel ascending from the east and having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth and the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.'" Now, what we're going to see here, especially in the next couple of weeks, is that just as we have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Satan loves to mimic and copy God. We're going to see there's an unholy Trinity. We're going to see that in the near future, as we're studying this, that I've heard of the mark of the beast, the 666, whatever that is. There's some different opinions about what that is. But here we see a seal that's put on what we're going to see, the 144,000. The enemy loves to copy God. And so it continues in verse 4, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed." And what you're going to notice here is, if you're familiar with some of the Old Testament, if you were to go in the Old Testament into Deuteronomy and you were to compare the tribes that are in the Old Testament to the 12 tribes that are mentioned right here, guess what? They're not the same. Ooh, is this a contradiction? No. The tribe of Dan, because of their idolatry, God said, "I'm going to use somebody else." Reuben here is number two. Reuben was the firstborn. The firstborn should be first. I know I'm a firstborn. I'm the oldest of four boys. I want to be first, right? And I told my brothers, maybe I should get the double of the inheritance. They didn't like that idea at all. No, we don't do that really so much here today, do we? But Reuben's second. Why is he second? Because of the way he treated his father's concubines. God said, "You're not going to get what you originally were going to get." And of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Manasseh, who's one of the sons of Joseph, he replaced one of the tribes. The son of Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, and then the tribe of Joseph, Benjamin, each one of them given 12,000 were sealed. Now let's talk about this 144,000 here just for a moment. We've seen it mentioned in movies. We've seen it mentioned by Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, make a big deal about the 144,000. They believe that there's only a certain, while all of them eventually will experience, you know, heaven and paradise, that only 144,000 will really get to go to heaven originally, and the rest of them will basically be in like a deep sleep, basically dead, but in a deep sleep to be resurrected again. There's some odd things. There's some things that are heresy about Jesus Christ. And listen, For me, I love the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses for sure. I have a friend I grew up with that's one. I don't make fun of them. In fact, usually I'll talk to them and they come to my door. I don't recommend that for everybody because there's some interesting things that can very easily confuse somebody. But one thing they teach, though, is that some of them are a part of the 144,000, men, women, and so on. And what we see biblically, This is not symbolism here. This is biblically what we see is they're of the tribes. So we know they're Jewish, but the Bible gives even further detail on who they are. Keep your finger here. Go to Revelation 14, verse 4, and it's talking about the 144,000 again in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. We're just going to read 4, but you can read that for yourself if you want. It says, "These are the ones," talking about the 144,000, clearly. Okay, as you were to read the rest of the passage. "They were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. All right, what do we see biblically? We see that the 144,000, and we'll talk about what they do here in a second, they're Jews. According to 14, they are males. They are male virgin Jews. Now, I'm not sure where they come up with those in the Jehovah's Witness teaching of some women get in, some men. But according to Scripture, if they're not male virgin Jews, they're not part of the 144,000. That kind of gives a big problem there. That's what we see biblically. Now, this 144,000, what do they do? It's going to be like God releasing 144,000 Apostle Pauls with a fire in their belly of wanting to win people to the Lord. And that's what they're going to do. And there's a great number. And as we've been studying and seeing what's happening, and as we, if you're new here with us, these seals, the trumpets that we're reading, this has taken place during the seven-year tribulation. I believe the church, Christians, right? We're not here experiencing this on earth. I believe that we're in heaven, and we're taken up in what we call the rapture at the beginning or before the seven-year tribulation started. So we know what's going on, but we're in heaven with the Lord. We're not experiencing some of this. And if you're like, man, I want more detail about that, man, I went like 2 weeks about the rapture of the church. So go back, check it out, went into very much detail. And you can always email me. Some have questions. Give me a ring. I'll answer them the best I can and help you out, understand anything. But here, man, it's going to be like releasing them. Boom! They're going to be going. They're going to be preaching. And just as much God brings judgment during this time. And listen, God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. But he's also a God of justice. And that oftentimes gets lost of being taught in many of our churches. But even despite that, even though he's bringing judgment and it's coming upon the earth, God continues to want to reach people to bring them to faith. And many do. Notice with me, after this 144,000, a great multitude appears in heaven. In verse 9, after these sayings I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. That's a lot of people is what the Bible's saying. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the elders sang to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? This is just kind of an opinion part. You know, we kind of established that more than likely of the 24 elders that are around the throne, that probably 12 of them are the apostles. The other 12 are probably of the tribes that are mentioned right here. Didn't this sound like something Peter would say? The apostle Peter going, who are all these people? Where'd they come? Just, I don't know, maybe just my imagination a little bit. You got to use your imagination a little bit here, right, with some of this. And he said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the what? Great tribulation. Not a great tribulation, but the great tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. And washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These just aren't martyrs who were killed for Christ right now. No. This is in reference to those, the great number that come to know Christ because of the preaching of the 144,000 who are on fire for the Lord. And they are preaching, man, they're going after it. The world's telling them, shut up, be quiet, don't say a word. You should not be, you know, talking about Jesus. And they don't stop, man. They keep going because they know God has put this fire inside of them. And the nation of Israel was not the witness that they, even today, are supposed to be. That God in the Old Testament wanted to use them to spread faith, to bring many to faith, and they didn't do it. And as we've read Daniel about the 70 weeks, when that time is 69 weeks, they didn't really do all what God wanted them to do. But there's 1 week left, and that 1 week, the 7 years, is believed to be the tribulation. And God, man, Israel is going to be a missionary force trying to reach people for the Lord. Now, it appears that it mentions the tribes. How are they going to know if they are of that tribe? And I don't know completely, but I think we get a little bit more of an idea of something that could potentially happen because of the DNA kits. Have you ever, my wife sent her DNA swabbed and, you know, sent it in, and my brother, who's a pastor, he did that. Any of you have done any of that, the DNA testing, where they see what part of the world your ancestry, I think Ancestry.com, anyone, you've done some of that? Okay, a couple of you, and they can kind of see and who you are. And I wonder if there's something kind of connected to that in which they'll be able to figure out of like, oh, they're more from this area, this tribe. I don't know. It's just there has to be some kind of explanation, but I know this. God will figure it out, because what happened is a lot of the details and a lot of that they knew about themselves in A.D. 70, when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. They destroyed a lot of records. A lot of things were destroyed. And so a lot of Jewish don't know what tribe they're from. There's some of them, maybe they do know, they have an idea. But Israel, I believe, is working on some of those things even now. I believe they are. It is rumored, and we'll get into more detail coming up here in the next couple of weeks, but they're working, they're gathering. It's been known for a while. They're gathering the different items to rebuild the temple, where the Dome of the Rock's at. One day is going to be built there. And biblically, we believe, and we went over this a little bit Wednesday, that will be completed halfway through the tribulation. Interesting stuff, man. The Bible has so much that can just boggle our minds and make us think. And so if anything, I hope this makes you think. And if you don't know Christ, I want you to know something, that we're glad you're here. And there, some of this may be way over your head, but I want you to know that God has a plan. And that so much of prophecy has come true, even just surrounding by the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, if you go on my Facebook page, I want to encourage you to go on my Facebook page, look me up, Lucas Cunningham. And on there, there is a seven-minute video, not very long. And it's about the prophecy that's been fulfilled in Ezekiel chapter 47. Now, in general, we're not going to turn to Ezekiel 47 here this morning, but Ezekiel 47 mentions how fish will return to the Dead Sea. Now, the reason it's called a Dead Sea is because there's so much salt there in the Dead Sea that regardless of how much you weigh, you can float. You don't need a life jacket. You don't even have to know how to swim. I've had friends, I'd love to go one day and go in the Dead Sea and go, and you can go there. You're going to float. And it's pretty awesome, right? The Dead Sea is dead. There's no fish in the Dead Sea. There's nothing growing right around the Dead Sea. Now, I'm not here to make fun of anybody. I asked this in the first service too. How many of you were born in the 60s? You're alive in the 60s. All right, some of you. More in our first service than this one, but in the 60s, the Dead Sea was much higher. It is slowly, and this is well documented, it is slowly eroded as far as the amount of water that is in the Dead Sea. And you can go back and you can look at old photos and come a pretty good idea. Even if you get an aerial view today, you can see where a shoreline used to be. And what's interesting is this. With Ezekiel 47 mentioning there would be fish and fresh water again in the Dead Sea, it has happened. It has happened. In the 60s, where you once would have gone into the Dead Sea on the beach, and the Dead Sea water, the salty water, would have been right in front of you, is now a place of vegetation and a place of fresh water. That as the Dead Sea has receded, it has left large holes, many sinkholes. It is fed by the Jordan River, and the Jordan River has filled in those holes. There's just these almost like lakes and ponds and areas that you can go yourself today. It's fresh water. It's about 80 degrees. It's a cool water in the midst of 100 plus degree heat. You can go and refresh yourself. There's trees that where in the 60s and 70s would have been underwater where the Dead Sea was at, is now a place that is fresh water and filled with fish. Fish that You can see them on the video. They're this big. There was a time where they thought Ezekiel 47 was just something symbolic, but really, it actually was literal. It is happening today. Listen, you can see some of these things, and man, it just excites you that I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming again, but I know that we are closer than we ever were, than we were yesterday, and that the Lord Jesus, He is coming, and He's going to come again, and I pray that you are ready. All of this didn't happen. You can't look at all creation and look how wonderfully made we are and detailed our ecosystem and all that we are. Just all that has been made, just even our bodies alone, and go, that's just one big mistake. And we had to have someone design us. We had to have someone who could do all that. We had to have an intelligent designer. So let's look at these trumpets. The last trumpet, in verse 7, the last seal, excuse me, in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, we'll get there. And it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about half an hour. What's the big deal about this? What's going on? It's a calm before the storm. Now, I realize that maybe our view here this morning of some who are watching online, some of you who are here this morning, you may think to yourself, heaven's a boring place. Why would I want to go there? And maybe you've seen that old magazine, some of those old cartoon slips by The Far Side that kind of goes, you know, guy's laying on a crowd and a toga, and he thinks to himself, man, I should have brought a magazine. In other words, this place is boring. Heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is a place of just wonderful worship and things we can never imagine or experience. It is not a quiet place. It is not like a library, man. It is a place of just awesomeness and the glory of God. And it's awesome. It's going to be awesome. And then it's silent. It's silent because what's getting ready to happen with the seven trumpets is worse than what was just experienced. God oftentimes in the Bible would use angels to deliver messages to bring to his people. And here we're going to see them use trumpets. Trumpets are a significant instrument used in the Bible, biblical times. They would summon the nation of Israel. They would alarm in a time of war. They would use them in feasts and celebration and times of worship. And here it's going to be used in the day of the Lord and on these seals. And I saw the seven angels in verse 2 who stand before God, and to them who were given the seven trumpets. And another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, and that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Christian, you may be wondering, does God hear my prayers? Does God know what I'm going through? Does He care of what I've prayed? And here He shows a little glimpse of how much He values. What you value, you store. You put in a special place, and here He's put your prayers in a special place. They're pleasing to Him. Now there are things, really sin, that can hinder our prayers. It's true. The Bible speaks to that. Husbands, how you treat your wives can hinder your prayers. Did you know that? But the Bible says that God always answers our prayers, and that we should pray according to His will, not ours, but His to be done. He answers our prayers in one of four ways, really. It's yes. I like when God says yes. Sometimes He says no. We don't always like that. Sometimes He says wait. Wait, I have something better. Or wait, this is not the right time. Sometimes He says, this is not really a fun one. Sometimes He says, my grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? It means I'm not going to take the pain, but I am going to walk with you through it. The Apostle Paul asked three different times for the Lord to help him with something. Many think it was an ailment with his eyes. And the Lord said all three times, my grace is sufficient for you. And kind of a teaching that's been kind of maybe brought on with some churches and some folks, some, I guess, guys, preachers on TV, is that the more faith you have, the more riches you should become. Or the more faith you have, the less problems you should have. Well, don't become a pastor, all right? All I tell you is that. No, I'm just kidding. But being serious, it's not an issue of faith. If there's anyone who had faith, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to know he hears your prayers and he cares. He knows. He knows, and they're very, very valuable to him. Let's move on here a little bit. I want to go through these seals, or these trumpets here that are given. And some of them are self-explanatory. Some of them are not. Some of them we don't have all the pieces to, and we won't know. But I'm going to read through them, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I do want to read through them. So the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and the hail and the fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown into the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning. Many think that it's not actually necessarily a real mountain, but it could refer to something that of a mushroom cloud that's been created by nuclear warfare. Burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, which is more than likely not an actual star, because a star would burn us up before it even got here, but a reference to an asteroid or a meteor, something celestial. And the name of the star was Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels are about to sound. And verse 9, chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to him who was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, and as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, something I want you to notice here, that as we're reading this, you're going to see, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, you're going to see the word like mentioned. I didn't count how many times I underlined. It's about six or seven times. As John is writing down the things that he is seeing, it's hard for him to describe certain things that he simply doesn't know how to describe other than connecting it to what he knows of his world of that day. I mean, think about it. I mean, really, there's been so much advancement with technology, even in my lifetime. I'm 40. But think back 150 years ago. Try to explain what a cell phone is, even, 50 years ago. That we're going to have these smartphones, and that we can get to very much find anything that we want on our smartphone. And trying to, you know, describe that, hey, I can make a phone call right now and talk to somebody in Japan. I mean, it would blow their mind. Of you know, they're looking around. Where all the Sears go? You know, where's Kmart? It's gone. You know, there's so much that they just would not understand or comprehend, let alone John. And this is 2,000 years ago. Now, I don't know what this is exactly. It's not good. And there are instructions that are given to this crazy-looking beast. So let's go through this here. In verse 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing. So at least they're environmental friendly here, it appears. You can laugh a little bit. It's okay. You don't have to. It's kind of corny. But only those men who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. So as well, they're not going to go after those who had the seal of God on their forehead, which would make the world hate them even more. And they were not given the authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion. You see the first like right here, when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and will they desire to die, and the death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were like crowns of something like gold, and their faces like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had the breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and the Greek is named Apollyon. But one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming. And after these things, these are crazy looking locusts. They're not the kind of locusts I ever want to see. And I hope you never have to see them either. But it's something. There's no purpose in trying to explain away what this is, because when the Bible doesn't give any further detail, it doesn't want us to have any further detail. The sixth trumpet is concerning Euphrates. And it says, "And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels had been prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. It's been for 15 or 20 years. It is known, a known fact, not just guesswork, but China can easily man a 200 million man army. It is believed, opinion part, right, that at some point in time, they get involved when it comes to coming against Israel. That's just an opinion, could be wrong, but many tend to point to that. "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and those who sat on in the breastplate of fiery red, blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of irons, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues." Notice this. God sent 144,000. He's revealing himself. They are seeing some crazy things. They would go to themselves, this is celestial. This is something different. And yet some of their hearts will simply just be hardened. And it says, "They were not killed by the plagues, did not repent of their works of their hands. They did not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, and wood, which can neither see, hear, or walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." And we're going to come back next week, and we're going to look at chapter 10 and 11, talking about the two witnesses in the little book. But it's the last seals in chapter 11, verse 15. And it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and the loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces in worship, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. And the nations," notice this, many believe this to be in reference to the battle of Armageddon that takes place at the end of the 7 years. And there's more to this, but we start to see kind of even more of the buildup. "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and you shall reward your servants and the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there was lightning, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail." Folks, there's so much that is going on here. But ultimately, what we're seeing that during this time is that people can either make a decision, much like today, to ignore the evidence in which God has given and put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And my prayer that as we go through this, That one, it strengthens your faith in knowing that God has a plan, that he has revealed certain things to us. And that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the whole purpose behind this is not to scare you, but if scaring you prompts you and makes you think and realize and think about your sin. Because the fact is that you and I, every one of us, we deserve death and we deserve hell. But the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that Jesus, he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, the God-man, God in the flesh, he came to save you. And if you're wondering, does God love me? He does. And oftentimes when we go through such a lesson like this, and we're going through the book of Revelation, one will think, well, how could a loving God do such a thing? Wonderful questions. How could God? What I've come to realize is that we usually, when a question's asked, we oftentimes have a limited view of who God is. One, I know we have a limited view of God, but we really have a lack of understanding of even what he's revealed in his word. You see, God is holy. He is holy. Anything good and holy in us is something that God has done. He takes us from the darkness and brings us into light. And heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is think of the best worship you've ever been a part of, that the Holy Spirit was just moving in a powerful, powerful way, that you could feel the presence of God, and times that by a billion, and that gives you a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. And in fact, church, if you don't like going to church down here, why would you want to go up there? What do you think it's going to be? It won't be boring. I've been in some boring churches before. I don't think we're boring here. But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. And I pray that you get to experience it. You see, God is also a God of justice. He will right all the wrongs. And as we know, there's a lot of wrongs that need to be taken care of. And one day he will. And some of this we may not know completely, but we know that it's all part of God working everything out in his time. And I pray that it draws you closer to him. Now, I didn't get to my third point. I thought, man, I've already gone like 12, we're at 12:17, and my wife's probably hungry over there in the front row, and my mother-in-law's here. We're good to have my mother and brother-in-law here. And so I got to really behave and not pick on my wife too much here this morning. But we are glad you're here. We'll get into Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's very interesting. I'll leave you with this, with Ezekiel 38 and 39. From 38, verse 1, to chapter 39, verse 16, I believe points to a potential war that we may deal with in our lifetime and see. And that from 39:17 on to the end of chapter 39 is more in reference to the battle of Armageddon that will come.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great weekend.